Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
On the show with me this afternoon, we got Smiling Sam Toomer, we got Travis Highland, MF Beck, and honestly, I think it's the Cuban, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. That's the name.
We'll roll with it, man. We were kind of talking some shit about that before the show started, you know. I kind of like that aspect. Since he's new, we're going to ride him hard today and break him in, man. You know, it's Misfits of Gold show is truly just about representing the sport, you know. But I kind of want to start off on my thought of today is false prophets, false prophecy, people who ride the coattails of others. You know, this last weekend, some true killers truly came out in certain individuals when they felt, you know, intimidated, or they felt something was being perplexed without them, and they hit me up. Almost simultaneously, it was almost like a fucking joke and a half. You know, first, I don't hear from them in 3 months, and then all of a sudden, all this love starts coming through. And then a nutritionalist, I'm not even going to name his name, you know, asked to be on the show, so I was going to let him come on the show. And, you know, lo and behold, he said, oh, my bosses won't let me. Well, then, motherfucker, why are you going to ask me? You know, if you can't be your own man, you can't take 20 minutes out of your day, then don't even fucking ask me to come on my show. You know, I got better things to do than ascertain your ego through my inbox. You know, with that being said, when you look at false prophets in the sport, MF, and people that truly want to ride the coattails, people that truly want to bring down others or take claim for what others are doing in the sport, what do you feel it does to the sport, and how do you feel it demeans it?
I think it demeans it in a lot of different ways. You know what I mean? It's like it takes away the purity and the love of it. It makes it strictly just a business. And a business is, you know, you're trying to get that bottom line, that bottom dollar, whatever it is. And some people, because either it was their dream to be there or that's just where they want to be, they're going to use whoever they have to use to get to that point. You know, that's not just even in the fight world. I mean, that's just in life in general. Like, people will use other people if they'll let them, you know. And I guess that's kind of society's fault in general, too. People were trained better, you know, if they did a little more studying and really, like, tried to understand people, they wouldn't get drawn into little shit like that. And as far as, like, the fighting game goes, it's like, how many people do you see, like, really trying to, like, ride a coattail? You know, like, this person's trying to do something, like, nobody cares about you when you're doing bad or when you're coming up. And the second you get a little bit of love, all of a sudden everybody starts, you know, trying to hit you up or trying to ride that wagon. And you'll get all types of people. You'll start, you know, putting posts in your ear, like, start putting, like, honey in your ear, like, trying to get you to believe all this fucking fantasy and this story about this, the story about this, and they just bounce from person or, like, situation to situation. You know, it's wherever it's going to take them to, like, to benefit them the greatest at that point in time. Doesn't matter who's in front of them or who's beside them or what it is. You know, they have that ability to bounce from fucking side, team, people. It doesn't matter. But, you know, that people like that, like, they preach about loyalty, but that's the least thing that, you know, could be loyal.
Yeah, you know, in my opinion, those are the motherfuckers that wish they were born with three arms so they can look in the mirror and pat themselves on the back, you know. And it's going to be a great day for me when I drop back into the 916, because, you know, yeah, Big D coming back to the 916. I'm coming back home, and I'm not so sure everybody and their brother's going to like that, you know, for the simple fact that, you know, I've seen people for their true colors. Usually I only see it when it comes fight time, that, you know, they'll hit a brother up for tickets, or all of a sudden they're instantaneously your friends again. You haven't heard from them in, you know, 3-4 months, but a big fight's coming. Oh, hey, bro, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Can you get me tickets? Yeah, go fuck yourself. You know, but it's going to be a very, very bittersweet homecoming. I'll be glad to be back in the 916, get out of this fucking hillbilly land. You know, honestly, I need some tacos. I'm tired of this fucking biscuits and gravy. But taking it on that note, we have a new person on the Misfits Gold Weekly Special with us today. And you guys call him the Cuban, but you said he's Puerto Rican, so I called him confused. Why don't you give us a little bit about yourself and let my listeners know who you are?
Well, I mean, I'm not really one that really, and I'm not really for the record.
He said for the record. You know, this show is kind of unique, man, and if there's anything you don't want to answer, you don't have to, homie. You know, we just, we kind of play it by ear. It's a show that I felt needed to be, and it brings some of the real back to the sport. And, you know, I take it for what it's worth, and so do my listeners. When you look at some of the scenarios that are played in life with people that are fake, they try to rep, they try to be your homie, you know, and in life, they really just want to ride on your coattails. They want to just, you know, get that momentum, that gain off of you, and then after that, you're pretty much nothing to them. How do you take that aspect of the sport, and how do you deal with it?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of more like, for me at least, like I just kind of have to actually do something about it when it comes to people being fake and just jumping on when they feel like it, because I usually just ignore it. Like, it is what it is, but I mean, at the same time, that's not necessarily good for me. So I'm kind of stuck in like a, I'm kind of stuck in like a position myself where like I know that I have to be more like aware of that and keep away from it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it truly does. I'm gonna jump to the outspoken white boy on the show today, and that's Mr. Travis Hyland. You know, Travis, do you feel that with the real aspect of the sport being diminished day by day, that it's pretty much turning off some fighters from participating or continuing their career in the sport?
I mean, I'm going to have to correct you on one thing real quick, Don, and that's the fact that I'm Native American and less white than most people would assume. But, you know, it's a situation that you kind of got to dance around with in real life, you know. And in America especially, you know, people have taken professionalism and they try and coat professionalism over the top of just being fake, of just telling people exactly what they want to hear and playing both sides of the situation, you know? I mean, it's not professionalism if you're telling two people who ask the same question two completely different things, you know? And then the worst part is you get these people, especially in MMA, who, you know, they have this role of a head coach or of this or that, you know? And they'll be telling people two different things and they get caught in it, but yet their ego won't even allow them to admit they got caught or you know, it's constant justification. It's just justifying everything they do in every aspect, no matter even if they're caught in a lie, you know, and it comes down to ego, and it comes down to the fact that in this sport especially, you know, it's an independent sport, and you get a lot of these coaches who they can't do the sport, you know, they can't fight. They've never been in a fight, but yet they want to risk young fighters' lives and their health and, you know, traumatic brain injuries for the people who are actually doing it, and they just don't give a fuck, you know. It's all about doing it their way. It's all about their ego becoming justified in what they do, and it's not about the fighters or the fighter's health or what's best for the fighter.
You know, and I think it causes animosity, you know, not just in life but in the gym, you know. Matter of fact, it's my show, and I could say whatever the hell I want on my show. You know, and my view is not the view of anybody on my show. It's my personal opinion. None of these thoughts were spoken before we went live. But let's take Jim West, for example. You know, an individual that I met a few years ago, I kind of liked the guy at first. But the more and more I see his his path in life and his avenue in life, it's that of bullshit. I think he's, you know, he rides people's coattails. I think he takes credit for things that he isn't truly. You know, one aspect that perplexes my mind and my heart is, how do you come from professional baseball and consider yourself an MMA coach? You know, that it's just an avenue that just blows my mind. I mean, because this sport is something that I hold very near to me. It's fed my family for 20 years, so I can't just jump over from being a fucking waitress or a waiter and fucking call myself a striking coach. I mean, that's a pathetic scenario. With that being said, I'm going to jump to Sam Toomer. You know, Sam, I know I always pick on you from week to week, but you truly are a person that gets handed a bunch of BS on a daily basis. How do you maintain, you know, that rapport that you have and, you know, that walk that you continue to strive for in this sport?
A good support system, really.
Where?
A lot of people that's helping me just to keep my positive mindset back at home. You know, my lady, my mom, my friends, my real friends. they just really keep my head on straight, man, and keep me, no matter what I come to them with or how I'm feeling about so-and-so, they always redirect me back to my path, and it's a blessing to have them, you know what I mean, help me through this stuff, because being who I am, I get a lot of shit. I've seen a lot of fake people telling me that I should be doing this, and they had no business doing. My first ever coach didn't even fight, and he was telling me that he was a professional boxer in Mexico or some shit, but there was no lineage. There was no way that you could trace back to what he's done, and he was just telling me fucking fake-ass dreams.
He was Cuban.
fucking me up, like, that's fucked up, because it's my life and I'm trying to get in this serious and train with the best, but you know, you're not the best because there's a disconnect. You've never been in the cage. You don't know what it's like back there preparing to walk down that fucking dark alley, you know what I mean, into the fucking bright lights. It's a huge disconnect. So pretending to be something that you are not, you're fucking up other people. And, you know, you got to drop the ego and face it. Be who you are.
Yeah, face reality. Face life. You know, I'm not going to bring up the scenario, Sam, but, you know,
yeah.
I did in 10 minutes what some individuals couldn't even do in a fucking year for you. And it just goes to
there
show you,
go. You
that if somebody was really trying, it isn't that fucking hard. I mean, honestly, what I talked to you in the store, and not even, 15, 20 minutes later, you already had a phone call back or an inbox back from this individual. You know, what does it mean to Sam Toomer to finally start understanding and meeting the real of the sport?
Man, it means a lot, because I just walk through blind, you know what I mean? And I lead with my heart, and that makes me, you know, super vulnerable. I realize that, you know, a lot of people will try to fucking pull that card of saying that they can do like so many things for you and then just never following through on them. And, you know, they really try to make things seem like they are more than what they really are. But like you said, it's fucking simple. You know what I mean? Call a promoter or, you know what I mean? Call the sponsor. Like, it's really not that hard. You know, it might be time consuming, but how hard is it to pick up a phone? How hard is it to shoot an email? How hard is it to, you know, shoot a text? Not really that hard, because we're on our fucking phones all day. And that's what it's come down to, especially the business aspect. You barely have face-to-face meetings with business people. Everything's Skype or FaceTime or text or email. It's really not that fucking hard, but you don't want to put that time in. You don't. And just look at yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself and say you don't want to put that time in, instead of walking around, parading around, bullshitting the entire time. And fucking with people's lives. It's not cool.
No, it's not cool. I mean, you take my life, for example. I'm getting ready to go through a fucked up divorce. You know, but even before that situation happened, I took care of my family. I shoot for multiple promotions. I just went through a bunch of surgeries. You know, I do 4 or 5 radio shows a week. But yet, I still had the time to hook you up with somebody that was a very valuable asset, you know, possibly going into the future. And it was, like I said, it took me 10 minutes. You know, MF, I'm going to throw you under the fucking bus again, bro, because, you know, you're my homie and I can. You know, we bring on the Misfits of Gold to kind of shed light on reality in different aspects. I know you're the man in the corner, but and you like to see yourself as an equal, but you got to admit, in the back of your heart and in your mind, knowing that the guidance that you give these young gentlemen, as they've showed time and time again, you know, is relevant to you. How does it feel for you to sit back and see this bullshit perplexed?
Man, to be honest, like, I still don't even consider myself anything fucking higher than and equal to any of these guys. You know, we all came in the same way. I'm not fucking going to go all out the same way. But as far as this, I do, I wouldn't be able to do what I do or be able to help them the way I help them or even just be me and it's like a whole right now if it wasn't for these guys. So that's why, like, I don't believe it's about me. I don't believe it's ever been about me. You know, but like, we were all brought into the situation for a reason. You know, maybe, like Travis always talks about, like, I'm a firm believer in fate. I'm a firm believer in destiny. You know, I think it's, like, everything I've learned in life and, like, the skills I've acquired and dealing with the people I've dealt with and, you know, growing from, like, growing up poor to all of a sudden having, you know, six figures a year before I was even fucking 25. And then having all that taken away and having to really start back over. It's like you learn things, see things. I think it was like, you know, maybe everything I learned enabled me to be that person to be able to help them because I do see all the bullshit. I see all the games. You know, like, I think it's funny. It's like people play that game, but it's like I live there. I know what this game is. I know what this life is. I know every little fucking thing, you know, is majority going to fucking happen. It's not hard to fucking call. You know, the more people talk, the more they tell me what they don't know. And the more they don't do, the more it shows me who they are. It's just kind of like I shut up and listen. I pay attention. I stop talking. And on top of that, like, I got these guys that, you know, keep my mind in check, keep me in check. Like, I got a good support system like West Hamilton. Like, I got good people in my life that enabled me to do what I can do. And it's just, it wasn't something I planned out. It's just, if that's what, you know, I'm best suited for, like, the casket I can handle right now, then so be it. So, not really matter-of-factive, you know. If it perplexes me or not, the situation is what it is. Reality is what it is. Whether I feel bitter about it, angry about it, sad about it, happy about it, doesn't matter. It's got to be fixed. So.
Matter of fact, you know, I got a phone call yesterday from we talked about this on previous shows, from a fighter that, you know, didn't even have the courtesy. He called himself my brother, but didn't even have the courtesy to call me and check and see if I had actually lived through that last surgery I had. But yet, when he finally did, you know, the first 30 seconds, as you know, was, you know, hey, how you doing? But, hey, can I come on the show? You know, he called me yesterday, you know, and said, I've been ducking him. And first and foremost, I don't duck anybody, you know. Bruh, you know, I'm kind of like Travis. You kind of burn my fingertips. I'm not going to grab the motherfucker twice. And, you know, if in the same sentence you can ask me how I'm doing, but delegate more time to being more worried about coming on my show, you know, on my Tuesday night or my Thursday night show, then go fuck yourself. You know, I really don't have any relevance for you in my life. You know, I'm going to jump to the Cuban real quick. He's probably going, what the fuck is this show about? You know, how have you taken the aspect of this show so far? I mean, because this is what this show is based on. It's about reality. It's about altruism. It's about stating fact. You know, what are your thoughts and what are you taking away from the show and what have you gained from the Misfits of Gold?
Well, as far as the show goes, I think it just helps me get different views on things because I'm like pretty green when it comes to most of those subjects. So, you know, getting other people's insight and then, you know, seeing what I agree with and what I don't. Asking questions and do, you know, that's what I see with the show so far. Like, even when in past shows that I've heard or whatever, and I have a question, I'll ask MF or Travis or somebody. But, and as far as Misfits of Gold, they've, since I've got here too, I mean, being with them, they've just actually helped me and try to help me better myself, not even just in the MMA, but as a person in general. And I can ask them about either or, and it's just like a brotherhood, really, in a sense.
You know, I love that because it truly is a brotherhood, even away from the sport. you look at the Misfits of Gold, and even if you take the sport out of it, it's a brotherhood that will still exist. There's nothing that can step into the complexity of this inner dot, and you know, that's one thing that I find tremendous about these individuals that I bring on the show each week is it's a sport that initially brought them together, but it's their altruism, you know, their reality, the aspects of their walk that has kept them together and helped guide it, you know, each and every one of them into the future. You know, I'm going to jump back on Sam because I just love picking on him, bro. You know, Sam, I know we're not gonna make any outlandish statements or anything like that, but just give me a percentage of how close that avenue is to reach.
The avenue. What avenue?
You gonna make me say it, bro? Because you know I'll fucking say it.
I might need you to say it. Shit. I don't know, man. I don't know.
The management group.
It's being breached. It might be. It's pretty close. You know me. I like to take my time doing things.
You know.
So it's close. In my mind, it's close. But on paper, you know what I mean? We'll see.
You know, I was just glad that I was able to hook you up with an individual like that. You know, shows you that there really is individuals in the sport that are compassionate and caring. And I think on the final note of that conversation, you know, you were asked, is that your phone? If that's your phone, Sam, fix that shit.
What?
Don't be bumping that Pee Wee Herman shit in the background. No, but on a serious note, you know, on the last conversation I had was, you know, there was a thing that was brought to you that if you had any thoughts, questions, or anything, what was in your mind? I mean, when you sit there and you look at how you were treated in that phone call, how much of a difference did that make?
Open the door.
Man, whose phone is that?
Well, definitely ain't ours.
I can't hear shit.
Is that the Cubans?
No, that's Sam's phone.
All three of
Sam, what are you doing? Are you at the park with baby kids?
Nah. Standing outside of a Starbucks.
I thought you was in the hood with all nine of your illegitimate kids.
Nah, no kids. No kids.
Is he going to answer my question?
Shit, I can't even hear you.
Well, dude, that's what you get for being in the hood. You know, I said,
it's not even that
how did it feel to have that type of discussion and feel like your opinion mattered?
Man, it always feels good when your opinion actually matters, so then you're not just speaking just to speak, you know, just wasting oxygen and people, you know, the whole false prophecies, the whole thing, you know what I mean? Sick of it. And it's finally, you know, on its way out, so that feels good, man.
Now I'm gonna jump to Travis Hyland since Sam wants to make the interview all ghetto and shit.
Get out of here. That wasn't. That music was,
you know,
trash, bro. I wish I was.
He's a white girl on Starbucks.
Right? He's out there smiling and shit. Probably got a hat out there collecting quarters.
Hell no.
But let's jump to Travis. Since Travis got mad and I called him a white boy, I did forget that you're Native American. You know, the bad thing is I'm Native American and I got a white man's name, you know, McGuire, so go figure. You know, but Travis, when we look, you know, we talked about all these things, and I'm going to take the show to a serious note for a moment. We talk about false prophecies. We talk about, you know, the pretenders of the sport. You know, when we've done these shows probably for two and a half months now, what is your greatest takeaway to this point from the show? And what do you feel that has enlightened you the most?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, it seems like lately that I'm just getting a new enlightenment every day. You know, unfortunately, it's not the good kind of enlightenment. It's where you're catching people in bullshit and fucking lies and misdirects and this and that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, like you must have said, it's nothing I haven't seen before, you know. And I've hung out with a lot better con men than the ones I'm dealing with now. You know, it's, and I mean, I'm sure you know of it, Don. Back before there was an internet, you know, you had these types of people who could just get away with being full of shit, that, and there was no checking them. You know, now we're living in an age where there's so much information, but people have, you know, they've gotten away from that social interaction. So you're getting all the same kind of behaviors, you know, the same kind of bullshit that people could get away with back when there wasn't any kind of checks and balances system, you know. The thing that I find funniest about it, man, is that people do it to themselves nowadays, you know. You see these people who are either so arrogant or so ignorant. They're doing it to their fucking selves 80% of the time because they just can't not put their ego out on Facebook. And you know, they ended up shooting themselves in the foot. So I've learned a lot of things hanging out with this group, you know, and like I said, MF is, we're very similar in a lot of ways, a lot of the ways that we came from the past, but, you know, he operates throughout, you know, the hustle world and the real world, you know, even better than I do. You know, I can see all the pieces, but he moves amongst. So it's getting to hang out and talk to unique minds like MF and Sam and, you know, some of the guys on this team. Like, there really are some guys that we have here that just have incredibly unique and fascinating minds, man. And when you can sit down for 2 or 3 hours, you know, and have a couple beers and relax and actually just talk, you know, it's helped me become more honest of a person. It's helped me, you know, work out a lot of my own issues. And on top of everything, you know, it's given me an even wider perspective than I had before, you know. So it's all good and it's all up.
Most definitely, my friend. Very well said. You know, I just stumbled upon a post, to be quite honest with you. And like I said, I'm not going to bring up any names, but we'll just call him the little one. The man with the high-rise shoes, you know. It says, before tomorrow, I hope everyone can post something positive for today. And underneath it is a caption of an actor that says, I'm tired, boss. Mostly I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. You know, when I see that, the first thing I think of is, look in the mirror, motherfucker. Look in the mirror. You know, because those that, you know, have to be outspoken about positive notes, those that have to preach about the good deeds that they've done in life and, you know, the roads that they traveled and how they've helped somebody else out. Man, that's not reality, man. You're living for a like, you know. Somebody told me one time, if you do something great, if you do a great deed in life, then let that great deed stay where it needs to be, and that's truly in your heart. It's nobody else's business. You know, and then I see people like this that ask to come on my show, and, you know, I think he just did it for egocentrical aspects, you know, because the bottom line is, first of all, ain't shit happening on Sundays. If you really had the balls and you really wanted to come on the show, you would have been on the show. What does it mean to each and every one of you? And I'm going to start with you, MF Beck, to see people that truly don't know the real aspect of life, trying to develop a rapport, a relationship with individuals and truly misguide them.
Well, man, it's like ask a different question. You know, it's like, can you pull on an act 24/7? Did any actor really portray that 24/7? And, you know, you hear stories about the ones that do, and they end up going fucking insane because the role takes over. And I think it's the more they portray something that they're not, the more they start believing their own bullshit. And it's not that, you know, they're intentionally lying. It's like they eventually get to the point where they've lied to themselves so much that they actually believe what they're saying. You know, there's like some kind of conviction behind it. So that, I think that's how people buy into it, because they do sell it really well. You know, they say it with conviction, with passion. But it's like when you really see it, it's like, especially with social media, you know, that's the embodiment of somebody's ego. People will use it for business. People will use it for this. But the ones that you always see talking about themselves, talking about what they do, their accomplishments, this, it's like they're trying to constantly reaffirm, like, you know, their identity, like their purpose. They're constantly trying to tell other people, be like, you should look at me like this because that's what that's how I want to be seen. Rather than, you know, looking at themselves in the mirror for who they really are, accepting that, and then letting people accept them for who they are, whether they choose to or not. You know what I mean? I more or less just pity them, dude. Like, I'm not mad at them. You know, it's like they're going to do what they're going to do. But it's like, trust me, it's like when it comes to my guys, you will not win. I will assure you, you're playing a game with a much better motherfucker. You know, not I'm used to playing, you know, with motherfuckers with money in a cutthroat world. Like, yeah, I was a street hustler. We ran shit. Like, we had offices all over this fucking country, you know, call it whatever you want to fucking call it. But this is a cutthroat industry where nothing's traced. There's no way of getting anybody in trouble with the law without getting yourself in trouble. So it's like, how are you going to go about surviving that? And I came out unscathed, you know what I mean? Now I'm playing. It's like they want to play a game with somebody who's used to playing without rules. Now they have rules they have to operate by. You know, and I have no problem going to hell to take them there as long as my guys can get to where they need to get to. And, that, you know, that's what it is. It's, you know, they pointed their blade in my pride, and I can't let that be.
Yeah, you know, I know an individual that is going to be really upset when I do make my reappearance in the 916, and that's an individual that I actually helped get in the doors of MMA Gold. And, you know, I'm not going to hold any punches here because, you know, I just don't. That's why I love the show. I can be who I want to be and not have to worry about, you know, a max exodus from my show because I really don't give a shit anyway because I'm going to a bigger platform. But I want to talk about Dave Madden. You know, probably one of the shadiest motherfuckers I've ever met in the business. You know, I helped this dude get into several gyms. Well, first I let him write off my other show. And then, you know, he hits me up one day and says, hey, bro, can you get me into MMA Gold? Can you get me into Team Alpha Male? And, you know, I did, you know, because that's the type of individual I am in life. But yet then I go about a week later, 2 weeks later, I forget what it was, and I did a show post. You know, I think Tim Sylvia was coming on the show, and all of a sudden I see this MMA Gold podcast shit just splattered all over my page. And I'm like, what the fuck? And, you know, I go and I find out that MMA Gold has started their own podcast through Dave Madden. So the first thing I did was jump on the phone with Dave Hirschbein and Jim West and said, what the fuck is going on, you know, blah, 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 blah. And Dave says, Don, no matter what, any and all my fighters can come on your show. Everybody's been given the approval to come on your show. You don't even have to go through me anymore. But then you look at what perplexed. You know, here they thought they were getting the upper hand on me. They thought they were starting their own podcast. They thought they weren't really going to need me anymore. And in reality, Dave Madden stuck his little white boy dick up their ass and pretty left a pretty sour taste in their mouth. You know, and I think that was just deserves for what they do to others in life. You know, the Cuban's probably going, what the fuck did I get myself into? You know, what are your thoughts so far, homie?
Well, I mean, as far as that subject, I had never really talked to the guy, so I don't really know much on that. But technically, I'm not even really sure what you're asking me, to be honest. All the crazy shit that was on.
What's your thoughts of the show, you know, the political aspect? You know, I know it's, you know, I've kind of went blatant today on some of the individuals and, you know, and asked certain aspects of life, but you know, I don't want to put you on the spot or make you feel uncomfortable or intimidated in any way. You see, I put him on the spot. You know, what do you think shows like this are a necessity?
Sam got disconnected.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I really, when I do come back home, I am going to get Sam a freaking better phone, get him away from Getro PCS. That will most certainly happen. But, you know, on a serious note, bro, I'm just trying to, you know, get your assumption of what you think of the show thus far.
I mean, like I said, it's like, it's interesting to hear people's eyes and people that have actually, you know, gone through it more than I have, you know, see what they think about it, about stuff that, you know, even I've even had in the back of my head and whatnot.
Yeah. You know, now, how do you fit in with the Misfits of Gold as far as altruism and realism and things of that nature? Is this the walk that you felt that was much needed for you in your life?
Well, I didn't even necessarily go about it like that. It just kind of happened. I just kind of gravitated towards,
hanging around the Misfits and training with the Misfits because they actually would take the time to correct something or help me with something, not just use me as another body or anything, you know. And like I said, it's not even just in the gym, like an opinion that I respect, not just someone that's going to tell you what you want to hear.
Man, let's try to get Boy George back on the phone. I swear this dude's phone hangs up more than. That's what he gets for wanting to live in the mountains. Man, dude, you already know, bro. When I come back to 916, I'm gonna buy you a new phone.
It always happens when I'm like driving to work. I don't know, random spots too. I just lose the call.
You know, well, I'm going to jump to Travis because Travis is the outspoken one, and that's one thing I love about him. He holds no punches. He holds nothing back. You know, we started today talking about false prophecies and people that ride your coattails and, you know, people that play a certain attribute in the sport, but in reality they don't even know the sport themselves. You know, would you say that it's helped motivate you or hinder you moving ahead, whether you maintain your life as a warrior or just a person in a normal walk of life?
Definitely motivate, man. Nothing motivates me more than when people are being fucking attacked. Because it's like, not only do I have a motivation to prove them wrong, but it's like, now I also have a motivation to not only prove you wrong, but bring you down and make you watch as I prove you wrong. You know, so I mean, it's everything to me is a challenge, man. You know, nothing is ever impossible, and nothing ever can't be done. It's all just, you know, how you're going to do it. And things might seem immovable at first, but, you know, you just start chipping away at it, and you just keep grinding and grinding, and you find, and that's one of the great things with this group, you know, is like there's so many great minds, and there's so many different tacticians and strategists, you know, if that's what you want to call them, that, you know, any real life club, anyone on this group is having. We got 12 or 13 people behind them, you know, trying to solve it and exhausting their resources and coming up with new and different ways, you know. So, I mean, it all motivates me. And just to go on the record, you know, about Dave Madden, me and MF also called that one within probably about a week of meeting the dude. Nobody listened to us, but I just wanna throw that out there that we smelled bullshit within the first week.
The only bad thing about that, homie, is Sam's still stepping up in it.
Sam's just a lover, all right? Sam will give everyone.
but that's the beauty of my brother, you know. We watch his back so he can do what he needs to do.
Exactly. We'll take care of that. Sam's got his own.
Sam knows I'm fucking with him, but the reason why I say that is you go and you look at a couple of Dave Madden's posts and the first name that pops up as a like is Sam Toomer. And, you know, I know there's certain things that have to be perplexed and portrayed in life. And, yeah, you know, Sam, I know you're a good guy, but come on, bro. He's not even as relevant as a pimple on your ass, bro.
I actually do got one on my right butt cheek right now.
Squeeze that motherfucker. Yeah, a little white head, little toe head like Dave Madden. Motherfucker got a little Dave Madden on his ass cheek.
He's a butt cheek zit.
You know, what hurts me, I mean, and all of you guys know, Sam, you've been on my show the longest. You know, they used to promote you and bring you on my big Tuesday night show. And, you know, you introduced me to MF, and then that kind of got shot from that point forward once they realized that me and MF connected last Christmas. And, you know, it kind of perplexed a lot of issues and avenues in life. But I'm glad the road led to this Misfits of Gold because it truly is a special place. And I like it because, you know, people think that they can play people across the country. They think they can touch certain avenues in people's lives, and it isn't going to get back to where they're from. And that's truly what's happened here. We, you know, for the longest time, I said, as I stated in many, many shows, I stated that Body Shop MMA, MMA Gold, and Glory MMA and Fitness and Lee Summit under James Cross are going to be three of the top gyms in the country. I still hold true to two of those gyms. as far as my opinion as a journalist, as a person in the inner workings of the sport, MMA gold is crumbling. Honestly, in my opinion, following on social media, talking to other fighters, I can't see it lasting another year going this route. What do you think, and I'll let anybody on this panel answer this question, what do you think it's going to take to turn MMA gold around and make it a successful gym?
I mean, man, I'll jump in here. You know, I don't mind throwing the shade. It's just cut the bullshit, you know, at the end of the day. But, I mean, the thing that's even bigger than all of that, and it's even better than all of that, you know, is I know in my heart of hearts, and I know that with the people I got around us, you know, we're good. And there's a large portion of that team, you know, who we're good and we're loyal. And we've always been loyal through all the years, through all the bullshit. You know, there's been so much of this bullshit and different stuff that's going down, and we're still fucking here. We haven't went nowhere. You know, and the Misfits are the most loyal segment of that team. And we're loyal to each other, and we are loyal to that team because they're the ones who brought us together. You know, but at the same time, it's like, we're going to be fine. You know, me, Sam, MF, you know, all of us, we're going to be good. You know, and if it comes down to it, you know, I mean, and I'll jump in right there. It's just like, ultimately, we're going to do it. We'd like to do it, you know, with the people that we've been nothing but loyal to, you know, and that have helped us out in numerous ways, and we feel like we've also helped them out, you know. So it ultimately it comes down to is like, we're going to do it. Either ride with us or we're going to do it ourselves. But either way, it's got to happen. So, you know, it's like almost like the ball's always been in Sam's court, and it's always been in our court, you know, but at the same time, it's like, how are you going to play if you don't have somebody else to play with?
Exactly.
So either we got to go find the opponents are going to find us.
You know, and that's so true. And that's one thing that really drove me to do this show was because I saw a tremendous fighter in Sam. I see all these tremendous fighters out of MMA Gold, and none of them are getting promoted. You know, and I brought up a point one time on a show that unless you had a set of tits, you truly weren't going to get promoted. You know, I don't think it's an MMA gold issue. I think it's a fad in the sport. But when you start relishing in fads, it diminishes the capacity of what you're trying to build. And I look at, you know, a lot of fighters. You look at Max Griffin, Fluffy. You look at Danny Ramirez, the Cuban, you know, and Sam and so forth. These are all individuals that deserve equal opportunity, equal chances in life, equal promotion. To me in life, not one fighter is more relevant than the other if you're a team. As my grandfather always said to me, there is no I or you in team. And until they realize that fact, that there is no I or you, I think the situation will get more complex and certain aspects will have to change to become a team again. And that's the whole thought of today's show was to relish in the discrepancies that are being perplexed, the lies that are being portrayed, and the avenues that are being followed. They're not needed. You know, if you create a team, act as a team, and treat everybody with mutual respect and dignity and promotion, then we wouldn't even be having a discussion on this. You know, we'd be talking about something else relevant in sport. I'm going to jump to Sam, you know, because you truly are, you know, a top-rated fighter in the world. When I speak of the thought about I or you not being in team, would you say that if that aspect was gone, that the situation would be a much better place to be in?
I've always believed that no matter what sport I played, and I've, you know, played multiple sports, I always try to be a team player because everyone has a role. Everyone plays different, you know what I mean? But to be able to build that chemistry and to, you know, form a team, you know, form, you know, Voltron or and things like that. But you've got to have that chemistry. You have to be willing to build that chemistry if it's not there, you know, and even just seeing that it's not there or You know what I mean? Not paying attention to everyone, to certain parts, you know what I mean? It's just like a machine, you know what I mean? You want everything to be oiled and ready to go, so you got to give everything attention. You neglect something, and eventually, you know, your engine blows.
You know, and that's what's sad, you know, and I look at MMA Gold going back, you know, a little over 2 years ago, and, you know, it was truly a place that didn't have IRU and team. It was, you know, a bunch of individuals that had gotten together and created this great aspect to where it even got national attention through my show. And now I'm sitting here, you know, in some assumptions bashing them for the simple fact that, you know, there's some individuals there that care more about themselves than they do the fighters. And, you know, one issue I did talk to somebody about this weekend, and we were talking about nutrition. And, you know, the fact is, there really is no true nutritionist. It's a dietitian. I mean, if you really break it down, I mean, you're somebody who watches calories, counts calories intake, and this and that. I mean, you're much more, not much more than a lunch lady at the elementary school, in my opinion. You know, and if you try to perplex yourself as being more than that, then, you know, you're sadly mistaken, because you don't have no PhD. And, you know, you know the thing that pisses me off, and I'm seeing this get to be more and more of a pronounced issue in the sport, and that's being that these fighters that are forced into these type of programs, and then when it comes time for a cut, they have no weight to cut. And ultimately what happens is you cause problems with your kidneys, your liver, other body organs that are just tremendously ripped down because you're trying to make a cut when you don't have any fat to cut. And, you know, I truly think people that are running these types of programs, you know, don't need to be self-motivated. They need to be fighter-motivated. They need to truly look at what they're doing to other people's bodies, because I think sometimes they can cause more harm than good. On that note, I'm going to pass it over to Cuban. If you have any sponsors, any friends, any family, any social media sites, or just anything you'd like to add to the program before we jump off with our hour show today, what would that be, my friend?
Honestly, I don't really have any shout-outs. Your lines or your teeth. Not really. Why? What do you mean?
Bro, what? He's going to start clowning you in about 5 seconds if you don't fucking figure out a name. One. Your grandma, your mom, something. The hooker that you paid.
Yeah, bro, he is right, because I was about ready to go sideways on Aspen.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
She had nobody to, you know. Yeah, she told me she had nobody to give respect to in life. And dude, I'm 51 years old. I'm an OG. So there's got to be somebody you got to pay respect to, bro.
I mean, all the misfits themselves and my boy Dylan for actually getting me here in the first place. And you for letting me on the show, of course.
Man, we're going to break you in, homie. We're going to break you in. We're going to have you on again and again and again until you talk. And we'll get you focused in and on point, bro. It's really nothing more than just a bunch of real people talking real stories. So I appreciate you coming on today. We're going to jump to the Colgate salesman, the man of the hour, Mr. Sam Toomer. You know, still rub that coconut oil on that belly, baby, you know, because them stretch marks ain't going to go away on their own. You know, but with that being said, Sam, what would you like to add at the end of the show?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
you being 3 months pregnant.
I
feel like
you're
half
the time. You just talking shit. That's all you're doing.
You know, man. I love you, bro. You know what situation I'm talking about. That's why I mess with you the most, because you truly know.
Man, I fucking look forward to this every fucking Wednesday. So I'm thankful for you guys. Shout out to my strength and conditioning coach, Derek. Shout out to, you know, everybody at Urban Sprawl Fitness. Misfits, of course. You done. You know, stay up.
Dave Madden.
and all those good people out there doing good things for good folks. Y'all stay up.
I got to give you shit, man. I love you, Sam, man. You truly are my homie at heart, man. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't know any of these fellas on here. And, you know, I hold you in high regard, homie, so sign that motherfucking contract. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to jump to Travis Hyland. You know, bro, you truly are the instrument that is a focal point in the Misfits of Gold. You know, you truly are the grasshopper to MF. What are your final thoughts?
Man, I think I've left enough thoughts on this podcast for a week, so I guess I'll just end it with two quotes, all right? I was listening to a podcast with Rashad Evans the other day. I think it was The Fighter and the Kid. And, you know, a quote from him is he said that 9 out of 10 gyms that he's been to, the biggest problem there is their strength and conditioning. So, you know, particularly not staying in their lane, but also just being ignorant as shit and wanting people to look good for their weigh-in pictures and not actually fight good or be functional. And then I'll leave you with another quote from an old strength and conditioning coach of mine. I guess we'll call him the little man. And that was, punching and kicking and wrestling is not going to get you the cardio you need for a fight. So we'll just leave those two out there.
And the man of the hour, Mr. Motherfucking Beck.
Definitely the motherfucking man of the hour. But I sure do appreciate the shit. You know, dude, I love this. I'm so happy that, you know, we get the opportunity to even do this with somebody like you, and the fact that we got the opportunity to meet somebody like you. You know, at the same time, like, I'm happy for you, man. Like, it feels like, you know, you get to be you, and you get to talk like how me and you have conversations, and it's not something that's programmed or something that you have to fucking say. It's like, it's shit it's from the heart, you know what I mean? People are connecting to it. I think it's a fucking great thing. And as far as, like, Travis, I'll keep it short and sweet, so I've already been talking, but, you know, it's like, I'd rather die tomorrow as myself than live forever as someone else.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. You know, my final thought, you know, for this week's show is, you know, just be real. You know, don't take others' lives and times for granted. You know, I'm going to throw a fighter under the bus right now because even his father wouldn't be upset with me. You know, I had him on last night, AJ McKee, tremendous warrior in life, going great places. But the motherfucker could never show up for a show on time. You know, I always got to call his daddy and have him get in his ass to get him to answer the phone and this and that. And I kind of went off on him last night on the show, you know, and I don't like to do that, you know. But in reality, man, my time is valuable. Don't fuck it off, you know. And that's what I felt has been perplexed with Jim West, Dave Hirschbein, and Doug Casebeyer. You know, I'm not a fucking yo-yo. I'm a human being. I'm a man with a heart that will bend over backwards to do whatever it takes in life. All I ask is that you just be real with me, and I'll be real in return. You know, my grandfather always said, when a motherfucker says well to you, you look at him and say, oh, well is a deep subject with a shallow mind. On that note, I think you three gentlemen need to ponder that phrase and think about what it truly means. You know, God bless you, and may you find yourself, you know, whether it be in the mayor or wherever it may be, you know, you truly need to give the sport a better shake than what you're giving it. On that note, I want to thank you gentlemen for joining me this afternoon. The Cuban, we'll have you back on next week. Even though you're not Cuban, you're truly Puerto Rican. Like we said before we went live, you're just confused. It's all good, homie, because life is short and sweet, and it's meant to be fun. If you can't have fun about things, then, you know, get in your house, shut the door like 99% of the rest of, you know, society, and close your blinds and shut the world off. I refuse to do that. On that note, MF, Travis, Sam, the Cuban, truly honored for having you on the show this afternoon. Each and every one of you is a blessing to the sport. Each one of you is a blessing to humanity. On that note, you have a tremendous afternoon.
Peace.
Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of fun and talk a lot of bullshit on this show, on this Misfits of Gold weekly special. You know, the one thing I truly like about it is at the end of the show, you can all take away a greater message from it. and that is maintain your walk, be real, don't let there be an I or you in team, and every fighter is the same. Give everybody that equal opportunity, whether they're 1-16, 12-1, 3-9, 22-6. Everybody has a heart. Everybody has feelings. Otherwise, they wouldn't step up and rise to the occasion of being a warrior. On that note, I'm Don McGuire. You've been listening to the Misfits of Gold weekly special. On that note, I'm going to bump out some old school. Have a good afternoon, and God bless.
Party people, can you get funky? Don't sign it for, can you get funky? Don't do it later, can you get funky? Yeah, just hit me. Just hit me.